Devour the Podcast is for mature audiences only.
They're here.
To episode 57 of Devour the Podcast. I'm your host, David. Along with me is Jamie.
Hello.
And with us is Bo.
I lost my last baby.
So how's everybody doing this week?
I'm doing great. I'm having a decent week. I'm impressed. But I've been dying to record. I couldn't wait for tonight because I didn't have any shows up until tonight, and I'm like, I want to record so bad.
Wow. If it's not recorded, it doesn't happen. If it doesn't happen, then nothing's real.
I did record an intro for Critical Mass's podcast. He just needed someone to announce their stuff, and I did that. I don't know if they'll decide to use it or not, but I actually gave him a couple. A couple of them were a little serious, and then there was this one that where I was like really game show. You know, that was actually my favorite.
Give me a little really game show.
Really game show. Let's see.
Let's hear it.
Okay. It was. I'm trying to remember the exact thing because I can do it exactly. This is so dumb. You're listening to the Critical Masses podcast. Now, here are your hosts.
Nice.
Ryan, Matt, and Evan.
Now say we have a giant wall of prizes.
We have a giant wall of prizes.
Like what?
Like this Boondock Saints poster. Or
this seems like a real shitty game show all of a sudden.
I'm just looking at what's on my wall.
Oh. And it sounds lovely.
These soup darkening curtains.
Yeah. This cat.
Do you remember the old Wheel of Fortune where they didn't win money, they won a gift card, like they won a gift card, and they had a thing that was spinning around, and they had to choose their prize. By them.
I didn't know that was different now.
$750 for a ceramic cat. Mm-hmm. Baby doll, they changed that like 15, 20 years ago. No, oh, shit. That it had to
been 30. Keeping up. Wheel of Fortune fell off my radar.
Anyway, well, no, now you win money and cars and trips and whatever, but yeah, back then you had to you had to buy your shit, and it was incredibly expensive and really bad stuff. It was like shit nobody wanted, but whatever.
Right. It was like life preservers and shit. $35, I'll take the life preserver, the remote control lantern, and I guess maybe the scarf. $25 for that, really? Yeah, the scarf.
Yeah, you win a lot of money, but it didn't do you any good because everything was like 17 times more what it should have been.
Right. It was like the inverse of The Price is Right. the price is way wrong.
Wrong.
So, Bo, how are you doing this week?
That pretty much covers it. Doing fantastic, and I'm coming off that Salem's Lot high.
Oh yes, I saw that on the Facebook group.
Yeah.
That Facebook group.
Yep.
Yeah. In within 5 days, read the book and watched both miniseries.
Awesome.
I submerged. I was one with Salem's Lot for almost a
love
week.
Love doing shit like that, you know? I love it.
Yeah, it was great. Well,
doing retrospectives because I just surround myself in it.
But how about you, David? How are you?
Busy as balls.
Sure you are.
So I've been working on a number of, well, all right, admittedly, I spent most of, what was it, Friday, Saturday, and I think Sunday playing Skyrim.
Nothing wrong with that.
Because fuck you, I can. Basically, yeah. Just running around with my now level 45 Imperial lady, running around killing shit, fighting dragons. I find it kind of funny that the game has Kinect support, but I don't own a Kinect, which is probably a good thing, because with the Kinect you can like actually do the shouts, which is not a good idea for me because I already spend enough time yelling at my TV. Like, I see a dragon and I start swearing at it and calling it a motherfucker and telling it to get back here. All I need is my Kinect. It would be for the Kinect to be like, what? What are you?
Oosh.
Yeah, exactly. I start using unrelenting force because I'm screaming, get back here, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So I'm playing Skyrim. What else have I done? Oh, I'm working on the 80s Vampire Project, which I've talked about briefly on Facebook, which is coming along well, I think. I'm pretty happy with it.
Very well.
It's weird. I feel like I've unlocked the Rosetta Stone of screenwriting, where it's just like, this is easy! And it's not stupid. It's not bad either. What?
Right. Yeah.
Also, I've just had another project sort of fall into my lap, which I'm not going to talk about right now, but it could be interesting, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, that's been about it. I watched a few movies, which we'll get into shortly. And fuck, I forgot to watch Walking Dead this week and last week's because, like I said, I was way behind schedule today. So I'm just going to skip those.
What?
Yeah. My computer flipped out earlier and I was busy trying to fix it. So I didn't get a chance to watch it before we got on to record. So I just remembered that now. Sorry. Right. So what did you guys watch this week? Aside from Walking Dead, which we're going to talk about next week. Damn, we're going to just pile on The Walking Dead next week.
Yeah, 3 episodes. Yeah.
First screen, 3 episode. Ah.
Very nice.
Well, one thing I watched this week was Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm kidding. We are doing we just started the Evil Dead retrospective on the Skeleton Crew. So I watched the Evil Dead, and of course we just finished up the Psycho, so I have watched all the psychos, and it's going to be leading up to Bates Motel. And I tell you, Psycho 4, yeah.
I haven't seen any of the sequels yet.
Two's not bad. 2 is really good, I think. 3 is good. You know, I don't really. There are some inconsistencies, tiny ones here, like here and there. Like, why isn't he back in prison after part 2? And you know, but the 4 is just god awful. I mean, it's just woo wee. And I'm sad because it was directed by Mick Garris, but whatever. What are you gonna do?
Right. Not a damn thing. That's all you can do.
That's right. What else have I watched? Oh, The Following, Face Off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and,
they're doing an Evil Dead episode. I heard.
They are, well, that was this week.
Okay.
I watched it last night on, I had it DVR'd, and the episode was themed. They had to make a mummy type Evil Dead inspired Egyptian god. And so they were assigned, each one was assigned a god, and then they had to do their version of him, but it had to be sort of, it was supposed to reflect some Evil Dead. And
that doesn't sound anything like the Evil Dead.
No, not really.
Okay, just making sure.
Not really. And the one before that was a werewolf show. So that was exciting. Where, what? Their castle. You know what? I didn't hear you. I just assumed that's what you said.
Yeah. Of course it is.
And Matt, right there, is why I love you a whole bunch.
And we're doing a goddamn werewolf show.
I know.
It's all gonna be Young Frankenstein.
That's right, guys. Bo is going to be on the next episode of Liking It, so make sure to check it out if you love him, and I know you do.
Or just tolerate.
Yeah, he's not picky.
My aim is low. Forever.
I think as long as you're not trying to set him on fire, then he's a-okay.
If you've ever not composed a hate email.
Ever? Because I think I have.
Not talking about you. I'm talking about people who stand a chance of liking me.
So is that all you watched, Jamie? Okay, Bo, what did you watch?
Aside from this evening's viewings, I watched both Salem's Lot miniseries, which I think should count for like 4 movies.
Yeah, probably.
That's 6 hours worth of viewing. But yeah, it was, you know, the 79 Salem's Lot is wonderful, and the 2004 Salem's Lot is not.
All right, fair enough. I actually did manage to pack in a few movies while I was playing Skyrim and working on writing. I watched Team America World Police again, because I hadn't seen it in forever. And the movie's still awesome.
Need a montage.
Oh, God.
You know, every single time there's a montage in a movie, somebody around here, usually me, but somebody around here will go, montage!
Yeah. You kind of can't help it.
Can't help it. You can't.
Actually, I learned how to write a montage into a script the other day for my vampire script. I had to look it up on the internet to figure
That's
out
awesome.
How.
That's awesome. No, I know. Well, I mean, everything has a format, yeah. You know? And so, well, good. That's wonderful.
And it's surprisingly easy. You just write montage, what's happening, and then end montage.
Yeah.
I did that.
It's stupid. I looked at
it so well. Yeah, script readers, not the smartest.
Right. I watched Blood, Boobs, and Beast, the documentary about Don Doler, which is available on the Trauma YouTube channel, which you should totally check out. I've actually never seen any of Don Doler's films, but it was a very interesting documentary nonetheless. I watched Everything or Nothing, the history of the James Bond franchise, which was really good and made me want to go back and watch those movies, but they're not available on Netflix till, I want to say, April, I think, is what I saw, was when they were coming.
I thought a bunch of them were. Did they pull them off because they released the box set,
I think so, because they're coming back, and I really want to watch some of the old Roger Moore ones again, because I like those.
Yeah, oh, they're so silly. Moonraker is ridiculous.
Oh my God, it's wonderful. I love that movie so much. I also watched about an hour of Manhunter, which is now available on Netflix Instant. And oh my God, so good.
So good.
Brian Cox, oh my God.
William Peterson.
Yeah.
Let's not sell him short. He's great in that movie.
Tom Noonan is also fantastic.
Yes, he is.
I mean, and I like the remake Red Dragon for what it is, because it's got Anthony Hopkins playing Hannibal. But goddamn, Brian Cox. So amazing. So yeah, I ended up only watching about an hour of it because it was 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, I need to go to sleep. And the fucking time change has been wrecking my shit the past fucking week, so.
Yeah.
I always get fucked up for like a week after the time change. And it gets worse as I get older. And I am so exhausted right now. I am so tired. I can't stand it. But, you know.
Would you say you are a little flush?
I don't know. Why? Do I look flush?
No. I was just kind of hoping you went, oh, heavens.
They used to call that the vapors.
Right. Oh, I'm a little flush.
Oh.
Oh, this daylight savings. It's costing me my looks.
It's true. Oh, stop it. I love how I'm some Southern Belle acting chick when you know I'm not like that.
I know, but it's funnier if you are.
Right. It's funny because it's not.
Whatever. Whatever. If, darling, if you want me to be Suzanne Sugarbaker, I'll do it.
That's a Designing Women reference, is it not?
Yes, it is. Very good.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. That's a, I don't know if that's a new low for this show or what.
Oh, man. That what? Is pure.
A new low? I love that show.
I know you.
Well, I mean, come on. I'm a woman and I'm from Atlanta. I mean, yeah. What are you going to do?
It was practically a documentary.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I know some of those women, you know? So, I mean, you know, real life versions of those women. And, nobody cares. Why are we talking about this?
You brought it up, not me.
Well, all I did was make a fucking reference. I didn't bring
and
it up.
That was your mistake.
No, I think the mistake was when I said, hello.
Is it me you're looking for?
Somebody give me some clay.
That's a callback to some shit that only like 5 people will understand.
Yeah.
Good times.
Tone it down until there's one person getting it.
Yep. Speaking of which, we will be doing another movie night. Somebody on the Facebook group, I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was, asked if we would be doing another one. Yes. I just don't know when yet.
I think it was Jerry.
Yeah, I think you're right, it was Jerry. I don't know when yet, like I said, because my new job starts fairly soon, and I've got this project that's falling into my lap, and we're all crazy busy doing shit, so we'll figure something out. I believe Gil and Roscoe are actually planning to do a movie night coming up relatively soon.
Oh, I must
yes, and
that.
I am so there, it's not even funny.
So, should definitely get on that.
Podcast. I love those boys.
And Ross and I finally agree on something. Halloween 5 is a terrible movie.
I don't think you got to swing that cat too far.
Oh, it's kind of sad streak, isn't it?
Huh?
I said it's kind of sad to break the streak, isn't it?
But they also liked, I disagreed with Gil because he likes Freddy vs. Jason and I don't like that movie. It's not good.
Maybe it just doesn't translate.
I'm with Gil. I'm with him. Just saying.
Well, meh. Like I've said, it's the first half is pretty good and then it gets dumb. So, meh, you know.
Yeah. Takes a turn for the silly pretty
fast.
Yeah,
it does. Anyway, so let's go ahead and get into the news.
Our show is now on Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Good evening.
It's 8 o'clock in Los Angeles. It's 9 o'clock in Denver. It's 10 o'clock in Chicago.
In Baltimore, it's 6:42. Time for the 11 o'clock report.
Here's Johnny.
Civil defense officials in Cumberland have told newsmen that murder victims show evidence of having been partially devoured.
Sure, I'll do it for $50.
Beware the moon, David.
The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you!
Holy shit! She's a friend of mine!
All right. Comes, y'all ready?
Yes.
All right, and we are back with the news. And we have a lot of news today.
Mm-hmm.
Some really cool stuff. So I'm ready to dig on into it. First off, everyone knows how much we love Carrie on this show.
Yep.
Anything to do with Carrie, and we're going to be talking about it. All right, right here, Carrie the Musical is coming to L.A. This fall belongs to Carrie. Well, if you live in L.A., that is. Haha. Not only is Miss Carrie White returning to the screen in a remake from Screen Gems MGM. Sorry, that's a lot of M's and Gens and there. But Carrie the Musical is coming to the stage in Los Angeles, too. Here's the lowdown, Manfred Jensen Jen.
Cocktoast on.
All right. From its infamous roots in the Pantheon Terror, you've never seen a musical quite like this. 25 years after its spellbinding premiere shocked critics and audiences from London to New York, Carrie, the most legendary Broadway musical of all time, comes to Los Angeles for the very first time. Based on the classic horror novel by Stephen King and featuring a book by Lawrence D. Cohen, screenwriter of the classic film, music by Academy Award winner Michael Gore, of fame in terms of endearment, and lyrics by Academy Award winner Dean Pitchford, of fame in Footloose. Carrie spins a classic tale of blood sport and revenge. A misfit at school, terrorized by her holier-than-thou mother at home, 17-year-old Carrie White nonetheless has a secret, and when a prank at the high school prom goes horribly wrong, they all find out just how scary a secret can be. That's an interesting way to put it. I like it. Outrageous, controversial, and completely thrilling, Carrie comes to L.A. in a... Carrie comes to L.A. in a blazing new, immersive production sure to be the theatrical event of the year. So make your date, come to the dance, and meet this year's prom queen. It's a night you'll never forget. For more, you're going to want to visit CarrieInLA.com.
Okay, so let me just throw this out there right now. How do they describe this as being the most spellbinding legendary? Yes. You know why it's legendary? Because it was a fucking flop. Massive flop. Yes. You look up the Wikipedia page for Carrie the Musical, it's just bad.
How could you even pretend to say the most legendary Broadway musical?
Oh, it's legendary. There's a book called what is the book called? It's something like From Carrie On or something, and it's all about Broadway flops.
So when did this originally premiere then?
88.
Yeah. Okay, so it was a giant flop then, and this is their revival tour or something?
I guess. Like I said, I hate to look it up on the wiki page because I was like, I'd done
well, that's 25 years ago. Perhaps it's an anniversary show or an anniversary tour. Something.
Because I, like I said, I did a PowerPoint presentation in high school because I'd read Carrie for a book report. And I was looking up like how Carrie had kind of transcended book and become other things. And I was like, there's a musical. And it like did five performances in New York and then was closed. And one of the actresses was almost decapitated on opening night in London and all kinds of bad shit happened. So, yeah. But I was like, what? This can't be the same thing. And it totally is. And yeah. So,
you know, I also wrote a paper on Carrie in high school. It was called Plug It Up, The Sexiness of Carrie.
Really? And how did that go?
Not well. Oh. Not well. No. As that story was being read, I kept thinking, how do you make that a musical and it not be retarded?
Well, that's the thing. If, like I said, you read the Wikipedia page and it says that it got vastly varying reviews.
I could see where the end, like using modern technology and, you know, Spider-Man turn off the lights when you leave. Like, you could do a Carrie musical where the... I don't know that would do it as a musical. Maybe just a stage show.
Yeah, a stage show of Carrie could work.
Yeah.
But yeah, Spider-Man turn off the lights. Oh my god. That just had disaster written all over it from the beginning. And then it was, and I laughed even harder.
Yeah. Didn't somebody die? Am I making that up?
I think someone died, yeah.
Oh
my god.
Pretty
sure somebody got killed in a stunt.
Spider-Man turn off the lights.
Or turn off the dark.
Whatever,
yeah. I mean, come on.
It cost someone their life. God damn.
It cost millions of dollars, had music written by Bono, because that was a good idea, and then ended up killing somebody because of a star. Oh, God. Oh, I love when Broadway goes bad.
Hey, you guys. Yeah. Did you know that the Black Dahlia Haunting is getting a U.S. distributor?
Hooray! I have something to say about this as well, bud. Read the story.
How about that for a segue? Yeah. Hey, guys. Shut the fuck up.
Stop being theater geeks. Let's talk about movies. Fags. God.
God. All right. Zero Inside Films and Pinnovating Productions have revealed The Black Dahlia Haunting, written and directed by Brandon Slagle, has been picked up by Origin Releasing for North American distribution. The film stars Devaney Penn, Britt Griffith, Noah Dahl, Alexis Yocono, Cleve Hall, Jessica Cameron, and Sarah Nicholson. The acclaimed film, which nabbed Best Director, Best Actress, and Best Monster at Shockfest in Hollywood this past November, will hit stores, VOD outlets, and other markets in the U.S. and Canada in the third quarter of 2013. Interesting. Good. Well, I really, really loved...
15 Till Midnight.
15 Till Midnight, yes. Yes, I mean, I enjoyed that quite a bit. I cried.
I actually did see a Brandon sent me a copy of this some time ago, which I've since lost, unfortunately. It got deleted off my hard drive, so I was unable to write the review I was going to write. But it was pretty good. I had a couple of problems with it, and like I said, I'd have to rewatch it again to do a full review of it. But for the most part, it was pretty good. I think it suffered from the same problem I had with 15 Till Midnight, which was I went into it expecting one thing and then got something completely different. And then on the second watch, I actually enjoyed it more because it was I knew what to expect the second time. I didn't get that chance with this one yet. So, yeah, and we may at some point we may get Brandon or some of the stars on the show for an interview at some point. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Well,
you should shoot for Cleve Hall because that's a fantastic name. It's like, what was the name that we ran across last week? Like Dirk Beefwood? It was something ridiculous like that.
Good. I don't remember what it was, but it was good.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway.
Well, and here's your synopsis. The film follows a young woman, Holly, played by Devaney Penn, who flies from New York City to Los Angeles to follow up on the murders of her abusive father and stepmother by her blind, since childhood, younger brother, Tyler, played by Dahl. She soon encounters the psychiatrist assigned to treat Tyler, Dr. Owen, who seems to have a special connection to a spirit Tyler claims speaks to him, Elizabeth Short, known in lore as the Black Dahlia. Played by Yakona. Consumed by vengeance, the spirit of the Dahlia has been playing mind games with individuals who have experienced great pain in their lives, from Tyler to Malcolm, played by Slagle, a man who can speak to the dead by touching objects that were of great importance to them, and now to Holly.
Yeah, I will say the girl who played the Black Dahlia was fantastic, and the girl who played Norma Jean was really good. And unfortunately, neither of them was in the film for very long. I think they needed more screen time, because they were fucking awesome. But it was pretty good. Like I said, I'll have to watch it again to give a proper review of it. But
all right. Yeah,
sounds interesting. I look forward to seeing it.
Yep.
I'd actually like to check it out. I mean, I like Brandon quite a bit as a writer. I don't care for his acting that much, but I do like him as a writer.
He actually he's good as Malcolm. He has a very little screen time, which was surprising, but the stuff he does is good.
All right. Gotta tell you that. I love his work. I loved 15 Till Midnight. It's so heartbreaking. And I was bawling at the end of that movie. It was fantastic. Of course, part of that was the direction, which Wolfgang knocked it out of the park, I think. All right. Next up, Wes Craven addresses Scream 5 and the future of the series, which is so interesting that, I mean, we talked about this in the past, and I was just saying to myself, oh, I wish we had some news to talk about with Scream 5 as long as we're doing the retrospective, you know? I thought it would be just cool to know what was going on with that, and I'll be damned if you didn't dig up a piece of news on what's going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. Wes Craven was down in Austin, Texas, for SXSW, and our pals at Arrow in the Head caught up with the director, who has been rather quiet since the release of Scream 4. Following the debut of the sequel, there has been very little buzz about a Scream 5, but there were rumblings of an MTV series that have never really come to fruition since the rumors hit the web. So what's the word on the street? Does Craven have any updates? The director told the site, quote, "So far I have not heard anything about Scream 5 from Bob Weinstein. There is some talk about a television series, but I don't think anything has moved forward on that yet. That's what I'm hearing more than anything else from the guys at Dimension. It would be them picking up the phone and asking me if I wanted to play with them." So, end quote. In the meantime, Craven is at work on Coming of Rage, a comic book collaboration with Steve Niles. Announced a bit ago, the story is a road trip tale about a vampire, werewolf, and zombie. Okay. I dig
it's
Steve Niles.
Being human, the comic.
Yeah, right? I dig Steve Niles, though. Although I wasn't crazy about Remains, I do still really dig 30 Days of Night.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But let's get to the root of it, though. honestly, does anyone here really want a Scream 5?
No.
Does that seem necessary?
No.
I do not. However, I know that there are people out there who do, and I don't understand it, but whatever. But there are people out there who do want more Screams. I personally would have been happy if we stopped at 2. You know, honestly, I was perfectly happy with 1, but, you know.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't watched the 4th one in forever. Since it hit DVD, I saw it once, and I own a copy. But I don't really think we need a 5. And when we initially talked about the TV series, God, that was early on in the show's run last year. The question I had was, how the fuck are they going to make that work?
Yeah, you can't. I don't want to say can't. Somebody probably can crack this nut. But doing like a serial killer mystery television series,
it could, I think. See, the problem I see with it is that if they were going to do Scream as a TV series, they would have to basically keep it down to about maybe 6 to 12 episodes for a season, and basically just take that time to build up to killing people off every episode or so, every couple of episodes, and then wrap everything up by the end at 12. Because if you go any longer than that, then you're just wasting time.
Yeah. I mean, again, somebody may have cracked the code.
Right.
There may be some fascinating thing to do with that property on television, but I can't think of what it would be.
Right. Because, I mean, the movies themselves are already 2 hours long. So do we really need a Scream story stretched out over 12?
Yeah.
So
I don't think so.
We'll see what happens.
Just me.
Probably nothing.
Yeah, probably nothing.
Up next, famous monsters team up to defend humanity in Monster X. A new project is in development called Monster X. It's being called the Avengers of Horror because the film's idea is that it takes famous cinematic monsters and finds them teaming up to take on something terrifying that threatens humanity. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Amit Zappa sold the idea to Bender Spink and co-wrote an early draft of the script. Said script will go through some rewrites before going out to buyers. Monster X stands for Monster 10, as there are 10 monsters represented in all, like Dracula, the Frankenstein monster, and more. This is all real early stuff, kiddies. We'll see if this one moves past the development stage and finds a home somewhere. All right, interesting.
I say this as someone who is both a fan of the Avengers and monster movies. Don't do this. I'm begging you, don't do this.
Yeah.
This is
like something that I would have expected, you know, 50 years ago.
This sounds like the plot of like 80s or 90s cartoon.
Yeah, you know what? If you do it animated, I'm okay.
Right. I mean, I could almost actually probably point. I could, if I dug around enough, I could probably find an 80s or 90s cartoon that was basically a bunch of monsters teaming up to fight for humanity.
Right.
Well, I mean, yeah, probably. Did you guys check out the Walking Dead opening It was 1995 style.
Oh no.
Oh God, it's on YouTube. It is so funny. Yeah, you gotta check it out. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. So we don't want that. Next up.
We don't like it.
We don't. I mean, I should just go down the news. Want, don't want, want.
Monster X, nope.
Oh, next up. Work has begun on a script for Evil Dead 2. Some breaking news out of SXSW. Director Fede Alvarez told the crowd that they have begun writing Evil Dead 2. Yes, a sequel to the remake is officially in the works. That demonstrates the studio, Sony in this case, is confident in the remake, as are the producers, Sam Raimi, Rob Tapert, and Bruce Campbell. And they should be, given the response the film received in Austin, Texas. Well,
yeah.
And all
good
over.
Coming out of there.
Ever since they've released the trailers, people have been all over this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah, they've actually managed to build up a surprising amount of goodwill for it being a remake of Evil Dead. You don't hear that many people bitching about this.
Right. Yeah, it's true. it's so if this is bad, the backlash is going to be horrendous.
Yeah, no, if it sucks, it's going to blow up. But it could go the other direction, too.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not...
It's good. I think it could be surprisingly popular.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. All right. Next up, Frances Conroy in American Horror Story Season 3 says she'll have a larger role this time.
Yay!
Good. Okay.
That is good news. This summer, Ryan Murphy and the American Horror Story team return for a third season. Since the Asylum story arc wrapped, there has been plenty of fan art created and fan speculation as to where Season 3 will turn. What we do know for sure is that many cast members are returning, including Frances Conroy. ShockTillYouDrop.com spoke with the actress earlier today about Season 3. And I quote, "It's going to start up again in July or August in New Orleans. I'll be part of that and we'll have..." Probably should have said I'll be part of that. "And we'll have a fairly substantial part in it," Conroy told us. I'll be in 10 of the episodes of what I think will be a 13-part season. That will be interesting to see what's written. The writers are so good and I can't wait to see where it goes. Ask if she, too, can confirm the witchcraft angle. She answered, quote, "I know there's been a little bit of teasing. They're trying to keep it all hush-hush, so there are surprises. I'm interested in seeing what world we'll inhabit," end quote. Jessica Lange, Thaisa Farmiga, Sarah Paulson, Evan Peters, and Lily Robb will all return. Kathy Bates is also set to co-star.
So it's in New Orleans now. That officially rules out Salem.
Yeah.
I guess it does.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Can't wait.
So, well, then you could go voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
Swamps. Oh, man. Can you imagine Jessica Lange playing some, like, backwoods swamp woman?
She would feed somebody to a gator.
Yeah, she would.
And I'm willing to make that call right now. Someone will get fed to a gator. if it's at New Orleans, that will happen in an episode.
That's going to be awesome.
All right. I know I'm excited. Up next, Maniac Remake gets a release date this June, and it's about fucking time.
Seriously.
I am so ready for this movie, I can't stand it. IFC has finally set a release date for Frank Calhoun's Maniac Remake. The Elijah Wood starring thriller is set for a limited theatrical bow and VOD debut on June 21st. Awesome stuff. Written and produced by Alex Aja and Gregory Levasseur, the film finds Woods playing Frank, a man haunted by seedy memories of his promiscuous mother, who works in a mannequin shop by day and stalks and kills women by night. Things take a turn in his life when he meets a beautiful photographer, played by Nora Arnazader.
Have you guys had a chance to watch the first 6 minutes that went up? Some time ago?
No, I haven't. Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Oh my god, so good.
No, I did too. Okay.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see this. The soundtrack is fantastic. I love it. I've had it for a while and I've been listening to it like crazy. The first 6 minutes are fantastic. I'm very happy to see this is finally coming out, and we will probably do it on the show shortly after it comes out on VOD.
I will look forward to that. Mm-hmm. I figured we would because we did the first one on that.
But I surprisingly liked the first one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and if you guys haven't heard that episode, go back and check it out.
That is episode 10, I want
to
say.
Yeah, it was really early
10
on.
10 or 11.
In my joining the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. James McAvoy has something to say on The Crow, and he says it's not for real.
No.
That's disappointing.
Since a reboot of The Crow was announced a few years back, many names have bandied about to play the eponymous character. For instance, Mark Wahlberg and Bradley Cooper. The latest actor rumored to be attached is James McAvoy, who is making the press rounds, talking about his turn in Danny Boyle's Trance, and is about to star once again as Professor Xavier in X-Men Days of Future Past. Getty Images in the UK caught up to the actor, who addressed the latest Crow buzz. And he says, "It's not for real. I don't think it's materialized into anything truthful yet. It's just been rumor mill stuff." End quote. There's a chance he hasn't been approached about it, or there's a chance he has, but the project is not in place where he feels ready to commit. Or there's a chance the whole thing is bunk. But there you go. No Croy for McAvoy for now. All right, so you can climb off the edge of your seats, folks. At least for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have been a good pick, though.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, but the way that he phrased that, it almost sounds like, look, this project is nowhere near casting.
Right. And it doesn't surprise me at all if it isn't.
Right.
All right, here we are. We have officially arrived at the final story of the news.
Yay!
Are you ready?
No, not really, but you're going to do it.
No. Persistent Poltergeist remake now has a director. The Poltergeist remake is still chugging along. Today brings word of a director being attached, Gil Keenan. He's the cat that directed Monster House, which I suppose sort of makes him the right man for the job. A Deadline broke the story. However, it does not mention when the film will shoot or at what stage the script is. Something I'd like to know personally, as the remake has seen writers and directors come and go over the years. Will Keenan stick? Poltergeist is over at MGM, and Roy Lee, Sam Raimi, and Nathan Cahan are producing. Toby Hooper directed the original film starring Craig T. Nelson and Jo Beth Williams.
Isn't there some controversy that Spielberg actually directed that and just put...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you watch the film, Spielberg is all over it.
I still haven't seen it yet, but I totally believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rumor, I think he had, Empire of the Sun or something out the same year?
I think so.
And you couldn't get nominated if you'd done two films in that year, I think, or something. There was some weird rule.
No, that was E.T., wasn't it?
Well, maybe.
82.
Yeah, maybe so. But yeah, the rumor was that Toby Hooper was a straw man for him to direct that movie.
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, well, you see, like I said, you don't see any Toby Hooper in it, but I don't anyway. But I see Steven Spielberg plastered all over this shit. And, I mean, part of that is the score, I think, and stuff that automatically makes you think of Spielberg.
Was it a John Williams score?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe he did do the score.
Or maybe Jerry Goldsmith.
Oh, yeah. I think it might have been Goldsmith.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Hang on. Let me check.
The top of my head.
To the IMDb.
So I was not aware that Raimi is producing.
Yeah, I've heard his name kicked around for this as a producer for a while now.
You know, that to me that gives it at least a fight chance. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jerry Goldsmith.
Oh, okay.
So
I am the Poltergeist master.
No, that's if I could have heard it right, then I probably could have picked it out. I can usually pick Williams and Goldsmith and, you know, the bigger ones. And my favorite, do you guys know who my favorite is?
James Horner?
No idea, really? None? I say it all the time. Pino Donaggio.
Oh, right.
Donaggio.
That bastard.
All right. Well, what do you guys think? I don't know. Well, shit, David, you haven't seen the original yet. Bo, what do you think? Would you be interested in seeing a Poltergeist remake?
Raimi producing, like I said, I think the movie has a fighting shot at that point because I think Raimi respects what Poltergeist is. And I think the trick is not so much to get the haunted house part of it right, but to get the stuff like, you know, when they see the ghost come down the stairs for the first time and there's that moment of awe and wonder.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing about Poltergeist that kind of lingers, is that there's something semi-magical about the happenings. It's not entirely negative.
That's why it's so Spielbergian to me, you know, is that it has that sort of magical quality, like that. Well, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. But I also think David needs to see this movie. That is required viewing.
I have a copy. I'll watch it.
Watch it.
Watch it.
All right, fine.
Right now, pause.
We'll wait.
All right, well.
But I I don't know though. Like, this movie holds up so incredibly well. I really don't see the point in remaking it. It's not that I'm going to be all like, oh, I hate the remake, and not even see it, you know, but I just don't see why, because I mean, like, you watch it now and I really feel like it holds up. I mean, there are things about it that are dated, of course, but I think that's part of its charm. However, everyone can still relate to it. You know, it's not unrelatable, and the effects are astounding. So what really can you improve upon?
No, I mean, I don't think it's a necessary remake, but if they're going to do one.
Cursed.
Yeah, what if they reawaken the curse and people start dropping like flies?
I don't know.
Oh, God, imagine the tabloids when they start casting that little girl.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
It's called the Death Curse. Anyway. So that was the last of the news.
You're done, bitches. We're out.
We will be right back with Darkness Falls.
Hey, kids. Do you like horror movies?
Do you like podcasts?
Do you like people called Gil and Roscoe?
If you do, you're going to love
Gil and Roscoe's Bodacious Horror Podcast! Every week, you'll join your hosts, Gil and Roscoe, who'll discuss a range of topics, including juice drinks,
alcoholic drinks,
lollipops,
Bobby socks,
Robocop,
uncomfortable chairs,
comfortable chairs.
It sounds absolutely nothing like our podcast.
Well, it should be a representation of our podcast, so we should start off with a pure cheesy intro and then just be like, actually, no, that sounded way too upbeat for us.
Yeah. We could have some dead classy music in the background and people would think we're really high class gentlemen.
We are high class gentlemen. That's just not what our podcast sounds like.
Right.
So that's Gil and Roscoe's Bodacious Horror Podcast. Look for us on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter.
It came from the instant queue.
Over 150 years ago, in the town of Darkness Falls, Matilda Dixon was adored by all the children. Whenever one of them lost a tooth, they would bring it to her in exchange for a gold coin, earning her the name, the Tooth Fairy. But when two children didn't come home, they blamed Matilda, and they hanged her in the light. Now, they thought the past was dead and buried, but it's about to come back with a vengeance.
You don't know what you're dealing with.
Tooth Fairy?
What the hell was that? I see these things at night. I don't know what's real or what's not.
She won't come in the light.
Who?
You know who.
You stay in the light or stay alive? Just walk towards my voice. Come on, it's just three steps.
This isn't.
This winter, evil rises, darkness falls.
Darkness Falls. This was released in 2003, and the synopsis is, a vengeful spirit has taken the form of the Tooth Fairy to exact vengeance on a town that lynched her 150 years earlier. Her only opposition is the only child, now grown up, who has survived her before. So it was directed by Jonathan Liebsman, written by John Fasano, James Vanderbilt, and Joe Harris. Stars Chaney Clay as Kyle Walsh, Emma Caulfield as Caitlin Green, Lee Cormie as Michael Green, Grant Pirro as Larry Fleischman. I'm sorry, and Sullivan Stapleton as Officer Matt Henry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was a movie.
I'm sorry. This is one of those movies that has a good idea and then kind of craps on it.
I saw this in the theater. So don't feel bad. I did it to myself years ago.
So who wants to start off with this thing?
Okay. I'll get this over with. Okay, this is just a movie that is at its finest moments mediocre. and most of the time is kind of silly and just it's kind of all ridiculous. The acting's not great. Mm-hmm. The script certainly isn't. The way people talk to each other is weird.
Yeah, it is.
you know, and it all kind of devolves into, you know, this lighthouse sequence that feels ridiculous in the movie, and it's just not very good.
Well, see, okay, so the prologue is pretty good. Like, the actual ghost story of the Tooth Fairy is pretty good, and a pretty good basis for a movie, I think. However, why the fuck does Kyle look at her as a kid? Because if I was his age, I would have had my eyes closed and covered up, because fuck that shit. I hear some shit rustling around in my room. I am hiding like a motherfucker. I'm not looking for shit. Yeah.
No, man, my ass was under the covers, because when you're under the covers, you're safe.
Exactly.
That's, so, you know, I pulled in all the limbs, you know,
right.
tucked and rolled.
Also, if this was the legend in the community, when you lost your tooth, why would you not just bury it in the backyard? Well, just be done with the whole scenario. Like,
just throw it out the window and be like, right. Here, get it from outside, you know?
Right. So there's that, and then there's the whole, like, he comes back to town and everyone's a douchebag, which was dumb. And then, like, the kid who apparently saw her, but we don't know when or why he saw her, is now terrified of sleeping because he knows the Tooth Fairy's going to get him. Also, I thought she only attacked children, so why is she murdering adults left and right?
Yeah, who had no teeth issues whatsoever.
Right. Like, that's the thing. It's like they had a good monster story, and then they threw it out the window for stupid special effects crap.
Was it not anyone who saw her?
Well, yes, but that's the thing. It's that, like, she just shows up. Like,
no, I agree with that.
I mean,
that.
I get that she's chasing Kyle.
I don't think that she should be able to just pop in, you know.
Right. It's like, why is she...
No tooth called you, then you have no right to be here.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I get that she's trying to get Kyle, but it's like, once he left town, doesn't that mean her sphere of power is now broken? He can't... Wouldn't...
Well, who knows? The rules are loose at best.
That's one way of putting it.
You know, like, she can't go in the light, I guess, and...
Yeah, like I said...
That's really the thrust of that character. The teeth thing is not that relevant.
No, like I said, the ghost story itself, pretty good. It's everything else that's just sort of dumb and not very good.
Yeah, and, oh man, people are superheroes in this movie, too.
Yeah, oh my god, I know, so Kyle fucking flies head first through a windshield and back up. I'm like, how did you not break your neck? How are you
dead? Yeah, shakes it off.
Yeah, and then
it's like, you went through a fucking windshield, dude.
And did you see the way his fucking, his lawyer's head hit the door when he was getting yanked out the window? I was like, pretty sure your neck would be broken.
Yeah. And even when they're just jumping down risers of steps, and it's like, nobody twisted an ankle? Are you serious? I mean, I know that that's not dramatic, but you're jumping from quite a distance, and there's a child involved. Nah, medically, this does not hold up.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. And I hate to be that guy now, but yeah, this is a terrible script. Wow, is this script terrible.
Yeah, it's just bad.
It really is. I don't know.
Bad. Darkness fell.
And that's the other thing. Like, okay, for a movie title, Darkness Falls, good idea. Who the fuck names their town Darkness Falls?
Right.
What, are you next to fucking Grim McDarkstein or some shit?
And there's Suicide Sylvania.
Right. Like, seriously. It's ridiculous. Like, as a title for a movie, it's great, but as the name of a town, it's ridiculous.
Right, and you didn't need that. You didn't need that. Like, you understood, oh, she can't go in the light.
Right.
Darkness Falls. I get it.
Right, right. You know. But they laid that out all in the beginning. But no, that we live in a town called Darkness Falls, and there's this horrible... And the cops? What the fuck was with the cops? We live in a town called Darkness Falls where there's a legend about the Tooth Fairy who kills children, and seemingly the only, you know, this guy who left town as a child because his mother was killed under unexplained circumstances, we don't believe him because he's clearly crazy, despite the fact that he's babbling on about a legend that we all seem to know.
Right. We're all totally aware of this, grown up with it our entire lives. We are the police who are paid to investigate strange things. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy saying, hey, it's all real. It killed people.
And the throwaway line when he's like, how many unsolved murders? And the guy's like, got that look on his face like, oh my God, maybe you're right. Well, shut up. Shut up, Kyle. Right. You're crazy.
No curiosity whatsoever about the world around them.
Right. This movie is full of dumb and convenience.
Anyway, I don't want to keep railing on it because it's just not good. There are moments where it's like, okay, well, that's the lighting's okay here. You know,
right, I'm competently made. It's just not very good. It's kind of the epitome of what you think. Yeah.
It's bland. Films like that had potentially good ideas but just came off bland. I think Boogeyman was one of them. They is another one. Not the French film,
right.
But the them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one about the
Boogeyman when you're a child and then, you know, that thing. And that is a great idea, but it just did not come off.
Well, I think it's sort of like in the wake of The Ring coming out. PG-13 horror was like a huge thing for a while, and a lot of it wasn't particularly very good. Like this, and Boogeyman, and I don't remember what else because I didn't watch a lot of it, because it was all bad. So, yeah.
Does anyone want to toss any more dirt on this grave?
Well, we know where Emma Caulfield's career went.
Poor Emma Caulfield.
She is terrible in this.
Nobody's particularly good in this.
No.
And I don't know that that's necessarily the actor's fault entirely. It's,
so
anyway,
I seem to recognize the little kid who plays her brother. I think he was in something else, but I can't place what it was. And he was an equally obnoxious child in whatever it was I'm thinking of him being in.
Did anyone in the movie ever say one time, like, how come your younger brother is so ridiculously younger than you?
Yeah, I know, right?
Because you look like you're, what?
I think she's
mid to late 20s.
Right, she's supposed to be like probably 24-ish.
Right, and he's 12, maybe?
Right.
What the fuck happened?
That's how Mama got her groove back.
Maybe so, but somebody should have at least said, like, oh yeah, I forgot that your parents had a child irresponsibly late in life.
Right. Also, where were her parents?
Right. No, but no outside family members need to be contacted.
Like, why couldn't they have just made her like, I don't know, stepbrother or son or something?
And the deprivation tank, wasn't that just an MRI machine?
Yeah.
That they turned the lights off on?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, that's not deprivation. That's just, like, cramped.
Right.
Anyway, sorry.
All right.
Cramped.
ratings for this fucking movie. Bo.
You know, I gotta go 2 stars only because I didn't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think it was good, you know? Again, it's competently made. There's just nothing else good about it.
Right. The Tooth Fairy is an interesting character, just in a bad movie.
Yeah, but even then, I was like, why is anyone tolerating this old woman collecting teeth in town? This should have been nipped in the bud far before it ever became a supernatural affair.
Right. This has fucking Chris Hansen written all over it.
Right, like, hey, you know what, kids? I know she's going to give you a shining quarter. I'll double that if you don't go up to that creepy old lady's house. That's our deal.
Right.
So, anyway.
Jamie?
I'm going to say 2.
Okay.
Didn't like it. I didn't hate it. You know, like, I'm not, like, going to poke my eyes out or anything, but I didn't like it.
Yeah,
you know?
It's
just,
in the same boat. This is a 2 out of 5. It's just not very good. It's a waste of an hour and 25 minutes, but...
You're not going to hate yourself at the end of it, but you're also not going to feel great.
You're right, pretty much. All right, that's it for Darkness Falls. We'll be right back with Scream 2.
Excuse me, what are you doing? Are you looking for porn again?
No.
Well, what is that I see?
It's not porn. It's the badassboobsandbodycounts.com website. I happen to be looking at the reviews in the boobs section of the site.
They have a section of the site dedicated to boobs?
Yes, they do. They cover exploitation films in the boobs category, action films in the badass category, and horror in the body counts category.
What's that other option, BBNBC podcast?
If you're not into reading the reviews, you can listen to them via the web on your mobile device through iTunes, and they cover the same types of films, lesser known action, exploitation, and horror cinema. So yeah, to answer your question, I wasn't cruising porn.
That's too bad.
What's too bad?
That you weren't cruising for porn.
Why?
Because I was feeling kind of horny.
Oh, wait, get back here. Hey, get back here.
Going soon.
Soon. 七匹ネズミの物語。1匹目のネズミは笑顔のネズミ。踊りをやめて空を飛ぶ。2匹目のネズミは気弱なネズミ。自分の気持ちはひた隠し。3匹目のネズミはメガネのネズミ。お調子者で口ばかり。1匹目のネズミは無口なネズミ。自分が良ければそれでいい。
許してくれ。
5匹目のネズミは元気なネズミ。だけど本音は喋らない。6匹目のネズミは短気なネズミ。自信がないとすぐ逃げる。7匹目のネズミは小さなネズミ。人のおもちゃを盗んで笑う。最後に残ったネズミは誰？さあみんなで踊りましょう。ランララランララ、みんなでダンス。ルリラルリラ、みんなでダンス。みんなでダンス。ルリラルリラ、みんなでダンス。
All I know about movie trilogies is that in the third one, all bets are off.
Hello, Sydney. Welcome to the final act.
There is one mystery more terrifying than you know.
Who is this?
Do you want to have this conversation with a polygraph?
Is that a threat?
When it's a threat, you'll know it.
Was that a threat?
There is one secret that can never be revealed until the end.
Anyone, including the main character?
character can die. This means you, Sid.
From suspense master Wes Craven comes the final chapter in the terrifying trilogy. Scream 3.
Don't panic.
And now our feature presentation.
Hello?
Hello, Sydney. Remember me?
What do you want?
It's time, girlfriend. Don't you know history repeats itself?
Someone is taking their love of sequels one step too far.
Last night, two college students were brutally murdered.
Police are everywhere.
The girl was stabbed 7 times.
Ouch! Hi, Gail Weathers, author of the Woodsboro Murders.
She's an opportunist.
Be kind, she saved our lives.
Yeah, I know, I read all about it in the book.
I can't wait to see the movie.
Someone doesn't want the terror to end.
Did you know the victim?
Did you feel threatened by the murder?
What am I supposed to do?
If there is some freaked out psycho, they're probably already in your life.
Okay, so you just want to sit here and wait to see who drops next?
The way I see it, someone's out to make a sequel. So it's our job to observe the rules of the sequel. Number one, the body count is always bigger. Number two, the death scenes are always much more elaborate.
How did we find the killer, Randy? That's what I want to know.
Well, let's look at the suspects.
I'm not interrupting anything, am I?
It's him. He can see us.
Do you want to die tonight?
Is that the best you can do?
Why not set your goals higher, huh? You want to be one of the big boys? Manson? Bundy? OJ?
What's your favorite scary movie?
Showgirls.
Absolutely frightening.
Warning, the following review contains spoilers. Scream 2 was released in 1997, and the synopsis is, 2 years after the events of the first film, a new psychopath dons the Ghostface costume and a new string of murders begin. Directed by Wes Craven, this was written by Kevin Williamson, and stars Jada Pinkett Smith as Maureen, Omar Epps as Phil, Heather Graham is Casey in the Stab film, Roger Jackson is once again the voice, Nev Campbell as Sidney Prescott, Elise Neal as Hallie, Liev Schreiber as Cotton Weary, Sarah Michelle Gellar as Cece, Joshua Jackson is the film class guy, Timothy Oliphant is Mickey, Jamie Kennedy is Randy, Jerry O'Connell is Derek, Courtney Cox is back as Gail, Dwayne Martin is Joel, Laurie Metcalf is Debbie Salt. Rebecca Gayheart is sorority sister Lois. Portia de Rossi is sister Murphy. David Arquette returns as Dewey. Tori Spelling plays herself. Luke Wilson is Billy in Stab. And David Warner is Gus.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, apparently, fuck, who played Stu?
Matthew Lillard.
Thank you. He apparently makes a cameo in the party scene. Uncredited.
Aw, and I've never noticed that. As many times have I seen it?
So I'm going to start off by saying I really like this movie.
I do too. I think this is a solid sequel. I've never had any hate for it. There are things about it that I don't buy. You know, overall, I think it's a fun movie.
Yeah, definitely. So who wants to kind of start off with this one?
I think I'm going to be the voice of dissent here.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Although not terribly.
Okay.
I think this movie's okay. I don't think it's particularly great, and certainly coming after Scream, It doesn't ever really hit anywhere near those highs.
No, I agree with that.
So I feel like it's fine as a sequel, but it really feels like everything that like Williamson and Craven want to say got said in the first one. Mm. And there's kind of a theme in this one about violence in the movies and stuff, but the payoff is kind of shoddy. And it's like the opening scene, the opening scene I don't think is anywhere near as good. In fact, they kind of lean on the opening scene of the original a bit too much, I think.
Right, with the stab sequence.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, who in the hell can put a knife through one of those bathroom door walls? You cannot. Right. I mean, we've all been to public restrooms. Nobody's putting a knife through that. Not just with one stab. It's not going to happen.
You know, you do some lifts.
That's a bit unbelievable.
Let's talk about aim. He had no idea exactly where his ear was going to be.
But it looks cool.
He could have been sitting down for all he knew. Yeah, the whole time I'm thinking implausible, and I was very irritated. I did, however, like the Jada Pinkett scene. I think it was. Yeah, I mean the whole thing, you know, had its thing to say.
Right. She got on my fucking nerves, though. Oh my god. Every line of dialogue out of her mouth. I'm like, god damn, I can't wait for this bitch to die. Yeah.
Well, she was so angry, and I'm just like, why are you so angry? Don't be so angry. Just go watch The Slasher with your boyfriend and get laid, you know?
I noticed that chill out. This time I watched it, that like pretty much all the African-American characters are kind of terribly written, except for Hallie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this is all kind of racist in how bad it is.
Well, and, okay, in that opening scene when she's getting stabbed, mm-hmm. Also, spoiler warnings throughout.
I played that spoiler warning.
Okay, cool. So... yeah, okay, so she's getting stabbed in the seat,
mm-hmm.
and the guy beside her doesn't notice. You know, he's like so focused on the movie, does not notice this person getting stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't buy that. Like, you're sitting right next to somebody.
Well, I mean, I think they kind of try and cover that with the chaos that's going on around them.
Well, who in the hell is going to tolerate that? Not me.
Well,
if
yeah,
I go to watch
but,
a movie,
I mean it's
know,
a sneak preview.
Think I'd be slinging shit all over that place. I'd be throwing orange slices left and right.
Right, but it's also a group of college kids, so.
I just don't see, I mean, which is why I don't really see them. I mean, like, when I was in college, I wouldn't have run around the lobby and like a fool. I would have sat my ass down and watched the movie that I just paid for. Because otherwise, you don't even know what you're doing.
Right.
You know, unless, of course, they hang out there, they've seen it.
But granted, like, this is the universe of Scream where things are hyper-realist at best. It's
sure,
sort of a
sure.
weird hyper-reality where this shit kind of, you know, you can let this sort of slide.
Well, and I do. Yeah. And I do. But if I'm going to pull it apart, then that's what you're going to find.
Right. That is kind of ridiculous. I do really like the stab sequences. I think those are pretty funny. Just because of how fucking bad they are.
Yeah.
And how over the top
bad
they play them.
Those were really well done. Very funny.
And I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on this movie, because that's not how I feel about it.
Mm.
There are things about it that kind of nag at me, and I think there are some... Like I didn't understand where Liev Schreiber's character was coming from until the very end.
Right.
I never really understood what that character was supposed to be, and I...
Right.
I get...
He's played much more as the red herring throughout this one until the very end when he realized, oh no, he's just in it for, you know, the fame, basically. Like, that's his thing.
And right, but he's also strangely soft-hearted.
Right. Which you kind of get at times, but it's a weird dichotomy, and yeah, it's...
I happen to like his character quite a bit.
I like
feel like
this one.
He feels he's entitled to something because, and I agree with him, and he did lose a good chunk of his life, as well as he's got this stigma attached to him all the time. So why not take that and use it to your advantage? I don't think that he's, a bad guy for that, and I like him. But there are things like the whole recreating the...
Let's kind of keep this in a more linear fashion, so... Let's pick up from the theater opening has the obnoxious Jada Pinkett Smith's dialogue is all horrible and I want to stab her to death the entire time. And it's a ridiculous sequence. I kind of dig it because it's so elaborate and ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty fun, as impractical as it all is.
Oh yeah, totally.
It's fine.
Right. And it really fits what Randy says later about sequels being, you know, death scenes more elaborate. It is totally elaborate and ridiculous, but it kind of works that way because it's, you know, it's a Scream movie. I like that Sydney's kind of... Yeah, I like her reaction to the whole thing, that she's kind of trying to deal with this stuff, but she's really not. She doesn't really come into her own until towards the end of the movie. The scene where we were reintroduced to Randy and introduced to Mickey is honestly fucking grating this time. Like, all of that dialogue is just kind of terrible.
Yeah. It's just very dated.
Yeah. I think that's probably what it is. You know, and we meet Derek, and that's great. And we kind of have the big, everybody comes back together, reintroducing all the main players, which is nice. And it's kind of a nice little homecoming scene where, you know, Gale shows up and Dewey's there. And, you know, you're like, oh, Dewey's back, but he's got a limp because he got stabbed to shit in the last movie.
Well, and also his excuse for coming back is the flimsiest. I was worried. I'm just going to hang out in case something happens.
Yeah, but you kind of buy it with Dewey. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, from that character, sure. But again, it's one of those leaps that the Scream series makes.
Right. But it's because of, you know, kind of the... It's one of those leaps that you can still kind of buy because... I feel like because there's been enough time where, you know, now Cindy and Randy go to the same college is kind of a leap, but it's sort of like, okay, well,
yeah.
Randy obviously has a thing for Sydney, so he's going to follow her. And then the shit goes down and Dewey shows up and it's like, well, because Dewey's just being a good hearted and he's trying to make sure everything's okay, you know, and he has a really kind of good scene with Gale when he bitches her out for, you know, making him sound like an asshole in the book, which is pretty hilarious.
Yeah, that is a good scene. Now, I was going to say, I really like Sydney's character mm-hmm. from the beginning in this one, where in the first one, I wasn't really mm-hmm. invested in her so much. And I like the arc of this a lot more because she starts off being really strong.
Yeah, like
already.
The first one, she's just kind of the final girl, whereas this one, she's like, she's actually been through this shit already. And to draw a parallel to another film from about a year later, H2O with Jamie Lee Curtis's character, the way Laurie in H2O is kind of the way Sydney is in this one. Very much she's been through this shit and she's kind of better because of it.
Yeah.
It, you know, and of course you can buy the stuff where, you know, she thinks maybe it could be Derek because that makes sense considering what happened last time. And so, yeah, I like kind of the opening... That first 20 minutes or so when we get to reintroduce all the characters and, you know, everybody's back.
Yeah, I like Randy in this.
Yeah, he's a lot more focused and less obnoxious. And you actually feel for him.
Yeah.
And I really like his whole death sequence is really good, I think. His whole chunk of dialogue he has with the killer on the phone is pretty great.
That's really solid. And even his moments with Sydney are really good, too. And, you know, the fact that they're both kind of survivors.
Right, and he's the one who wants to kind of forget it. She's the one who's more like, no, we kind of can't. And he's like, no, fuck you, I want to forget this sort of thing.
Yeah, so the character work in this is pretty
good
overall.
We get a few new characters. You know, we get Hallie, who's Sydney's roommate and friend, who's just sort of there. She's not particularly interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the sorority sisters were just sort of there. Yeah, we're introduced to Sarah Michelle Gellar's character just so she can get killed off, which was fine, because that was a pretty cool death scene.
Yeah, I did like that sequence quite a bit. I thought that was the scene to me that was closest to the original.
I really like Laurie Metcalf in this, and I like David Warner for the 5 minutes he's in the movie.
Yeah, I wish there were more of him, but,
yes.
You know.
But yeah, Laurie Metcalf is fantastic as the reporter. And then, so Cece gets killed at her sorority house. There's a party going on at another house. Sydney gets attacked, and then Derek gets his arm slashed, and then Randy gets killed off, and then the big death of the two cops is a bit crazy and not quite screamish, but again it kind of fits because it's a sequel. It's supposed to be bigger.
Yeah, but it's kind of a car chase almost, and that felt really tonally wrong for what this movie I felt like should
have. Although I do think the scene where Sydney's climbing out of the car is pretty tense. Like, that worked really well.
Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, when the dude's hanging on the hood of the car, I'm just like, ugh, no, thank you. Please, better.
And then, of course, poor Dewey gets hacked to shit again. That poor son of a bitch.
Yeah, like Gale getting shot.
Which is a little bit later.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm leaping ahead, but yeah, like, all the old characters, again, are a bit superhuman other than Randy, you know. I guess that was meant to teach us as an audience, like, oh, we could kill anybody.
Right.
And then nothing else really happens.
Right, Dewey gets offed, and we think Dewey gets offed, we think Gale might be dead, but then they're not, so then the big finale, I know some people don't like the finale of this one, but I kind of like that it's so kind of exaggerated because it's on the stage and, you know, I like the reveal of Mickey because he's kind of the obvious one. And then when Laurie Metcalf is revealed to be, you know, Billy's mother, I think it's a pretty cool, like, oh, that's a cool twist that actually within the story makes sense, you know, because this is Scream and this is a crazy fucking universe where that sort of shit happens. That makes sense. Whereas in the third one, that shit does not make any fucking sense.
Yeah, I have a weird, like, a surprising reaction for myself during that sequence, because one of my favorite things about the first one is the scene where they kind of explain their motives.
Right.
And in this one, I just thought it was a little ridiculous.
A little? It was really fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, Mickey's explanation is dumb. No doubt. I mean, if he had just been, you know, him being crazy is believable. But the whole, like, oh, I'm going to go to trial, that's sort of like, really? I mean, it makes sense for the time, because that was a big deal in the 90s. It still is. But, yeah, that's kind of dumb.
Well, and even the reveal of, and I'm Billy's mother. It was like, you already lost me with Mickey. And now, like, if it had just been Billy's mother, I would have been fine with it. But the fact that that became the twist was, I couldn't go with it, you know, and that's my fault.
No, I get that.
I know that, but yeah. But there are enough good to really good things about the movie to recommend it.
I mean, Timothy Oliphant's performance is fantastic throughout.
Oh, yeah, Timothy Oliphant is always fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, even when he's being crazy and basically, you know, and revealing that he's the killer, it's good, even if the dialogue is dumb.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. He's just fun to watch on screen.
Definitely. I mean, most everybody in this is really good. I mean, Jerry O'Connell is fantastic. I think Jamie Kennedy is much better in this one. Nev Campbell definitely gets to stretch a bit. And so does, I mean, all the main characters from the first one kind of get to do more and feel more fleshed out this time.
Yeah, and everybody's got a nice little moment. And just from a fan service point of view, because, you know, first and foremost, I'm a fan of a well put together horror movie, that the nods to the first one aren't too heavy handed.
Right.
Like they do a nice job of incorporating that very smoothly. Mm-hmm. So I love that stuff where, you know, they were just either referring back to stuff from the original or even seeing stuff on a TV screen, you know, or the opening movie itself,
right.
You know, like all that stuff I think is real fun. So, yeah, no, there's plenty of good things
right.
about
it. You know, and like I said, when we first get introduced to all of our, when we bring Sydney and Randy coming together with, and then when Gail shows up and when Dewey shows up, it's a kind of a nice homecoming that I think it doesn't quite work in part four when we get there, but you know, I think it worked well in this one. I was like, oh, it's nice to see this group of characters back together again, and you know.
Mm-hmm. I love the score
right
throughout. Mm-hmm. But at that point I that's it particularly sticks out to me. Mm-hmm. During that scene. Yeah, I agree with just about everything you guys have said.
Excellent.
The machine however is working. Am I the only one that doesn't buy the whole recreating the Woodsboro murders crap? Because
that is a silly B plot that kind of gets
this,
dropped.
Yeah, well, they drop it. It's just like, oh, it's the thing, and then oh, the names, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Some of them are the first name.
Some of them are the first name. Some of them are the last name. Some, you know,
right.
Some are boys. Some are girls. I mean, it doesn't. What? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And then they just abandon that premise altogether,
yeah.
Which is a good thing, but they should have just fucking cut the rest of it out because it just sticks in my craw every time. But I do like this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of really fun scenes that I enjoy. I think it's interesting to see the character changes because the thing about this series of films is they are always keeping everyone is up to date. Everyone is fresh. Everyone is stylish, mm-hmm. You know? So you watch the characters evolve throughout this series with these vast differences and changes of hairstyles, and I think that's kind of humorous.
Yeah, I think Sydney looks way better in this one than she did in the first one. She looks less frumpy.
Yeah, definitely.
I can see that. I think I prefer the longer hair, but I do like the color more in this one.
Really?
Anyway.
Is that what we've descended to?
Yeah.
examining the hairstyles of Scream.
The retrospective, what do you expect?
I guess. I didn't realize we were getting that deep.
So, do you guys have anything else you want to say about this one before we get to our grades? Any more thoughts or feelings?
You know, I think it's got to be tremendously difficult to follow up Scream in any capacity because of, you know, the cultural impact that we talked about that film had. So you're already kind of damned.
Right.
And I think this, if there had been no Scream and this was just a movie that Wes Craven made, it would be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It just lives in the shadow of the original, and like I said, it is never terrible, but it never hits those notes that the original Scream did. So,
do you guys get irritated watching the film class scene?
Yeah, I said that early on. That scene is grating.
Yeah, well, I just really get irritated because I'm screaming over here. You know, they can't hear me.
Right. Like Randy's line about how the horror genre is destroyed by sequels. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I don't even know where that even comes from. But
that whole scene sucks. But
so it's got its problems.
It does, but I still think it's a good sequel, and I still enjoy it. And like I said, it does feel like a nice kind of homecoming of bringing those characters back together and some introduction of new characters, and not quite as gory as the original. But there's a lot of fun stuff in it. There's some stuff they could have cut out, like that whole subplot about the names, which is there and then gone, and you don't really remember it until you're like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah, that is kind of puzzling. I'd almost forgotten about that.
Is that everything we have to say about this one before we get to grades now?
Jamie, is it time for the verdict?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like there are themes that I'm missing, but...
Well, The play that she's doing is, I believe, Agamemnon, if I remember correctly, is what I read online. And that's that whole theme of play that she's in is about how someone kills their son, like a son kills his mother because his mother killed his father or something like that. And that's sort of why the finale takes place with Billy's mom and Sydney and on the stage and all of that sort of thing.
But she's playing Cassandra.
Right, I know.
It's not perfect.
I'm just saying.
Which I've never been able to wrap my mind around I've never been able to wrap my mind around why that particular play was chosen, because I don't really feel like she has the Cassandra complex. I don't feel like there's anything related between the two of them. Perhaps I'm missing something in Sydney's character, but I haven't been able to rectify that whole thing in my mind.
Yeah, I'm thinking, maybe she's pointing out that this... I mean, at the very beginning, she's saying it's happening again, but...
Oh, well, that's true. But then it's not that people don't believe her.
Right.
You know, I mean, she's never really suffered from that. However, I will say that I picked up on, in this particular watching of the film, that she is incredibly maudlin. I did not realize it until I watched it this time, but she is I wanted to smack her through quite a bit of it just because it was like, oh no, you know, like, shut up. You know, I don't know. I understand she's going through some shit.
Right, I mean.
But so is everybody else. I mean, she hasn't been killed yet.
Right.
You know.
She's under a lot of pressure, Jenkins.
I mean, nothing ever happens to her, you know? I mean, everybody else is getting shot and stabbed and limping around and all this, and
but
nothing
she's
ever
pretty
happens
strong.
To her.
Yeah, well, but at the end, she fights back in a very successful way.
Right, which is what I really like
about
this
one. No, she
does.
But what I was saying is that everyone else is suffering throughout this thing, yet she's the one whining about it, you know?
Right.
I'm just like, ah.
Well, she's also in her early 20s, so, you know.
Yeah. She's carrying the weight of the world.
Your mom didn't get murdered by psycho boyfriend.
No, my mom turned into a zombie and I shot her.
Oh, Carl. You magnificent bastard.
All right.
Well, she hadn't actually turned yet. I was thinking Shaun of the Dead, but...
Just anticipating it. Sure. I gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
Grades.
It is the time of judgment.
I'm sorry. You said grades.
Oh.
I'm going to say B.
Okay. Jamie. One with a...
Sorry.
That's quite all right.
I'd already set the tongue in motion.
That's totally fine.
I couldn't pull it back.
ain't no emergency brake on that thing. Just a gentle tap on an occasion. I'm going to go B minus. Okay.
I still really, really like this one, and I really enjoyed it watching it last night. So I'm actually going to go with an A minus, because I think it's still really good, despite some issues. Like I said, minor plot quibbles, but...
I feel ya.
It's still, like, this one and the first one were still so important to me when I was younger that it still kind of hangs on, and it's like, yeah, some problems, but it's Scream. I gotta let it go. You know, so... All right, that is it for Scream 2. We will be back shortly to close out the show.
First, he conquered YouTube. Then, he was on Cadaver Lab. Next came Cinema Corpse. And then, he was on your mom.
What? It totally happened.
Kruger Nation Horror Podcast. So, www.krugernation.com.
New listener and first time sending feedback, and I have to say I really enjoy the show. You guys make me crack up, and it is very apparent you have a lot of fun recording the show. Yes, we do. And you should hear some of the shit that doesn't get recorded, because it's even funnier. Also vaguely racist and mean at times.
And there are moon cults.
Funny cancels out the mean. It does.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Yeah, that's true.
You can find that quote on my Facebook page, because I said it.
We have a letter to read, Jenkins.
I'm sorry.
She says, I really like Beau's goofiness, Dave the straight man, and love listening to Jamie. Rather infatuated with her voice, if I may say so. See, I fucking told you so. At least she mentions Beau and myself besides Jamie, so that's nice.
Yes.
I exist.
Yeah. Thank you for the wonderful feedback.
She said, I just stopped because I wanted to make that silly point. She says, I've been listening to the prior episodes and have caught up to episode 37. Smiley. She said, I must say that I enjoyed Dave's, oh my God, fuck this movie. Which, Roscoe attempted to do, and he failed miserably at imitating me. So
that's what he was doing.
I think that's what he was trying to do. I know, okay. It came off sounding more like Mr. Plinkett, but and no, Gil Roscoe, I am not Mr. Plinkett, although I do like pizza rolls.
Who doesn't, really?
I know, right?
So, I mean, besides people with self-respect, but
right.
That ain't our crowd.
Right. Nobody on this show has any of that.
Right.
So she says, you guys are great and I'm having lots of fun with the episodes, Luna. Thank you so much for listening, Luna. Yeah, we do have a lot of fun recording this show. And,
yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We have a big time.
Yeah, we do. Even when we're yelling at each other. Which we haven't done in a while, thankfully.
Well,
No, you guys haven't tried to break me recently.
I'm just kind of cramming all my frustrations down into a tight little ball. Explode.
You going to let your balls explode? Is that what you said?
No. My ballular area is fine, thank you.
Well, I'll be happy to check it out for you. Hey, that is an
like
example.
Science?
That is an example of listener feedback, and that's what I want more of. So, you guys, I love you all. Let us know you're out there. I was just saying earlier about how much I love our listeners, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't know shit. Like, I wouldn't be able to remember anything. Because I'll be like, I was on this, I said that, you know, and then somebody will pop up and they're like, it was episode 13 of particular show.
Right.
You know, 6 minutes and 27 seconds in, you know, and I'm like, oh, thank God, I love you. You know, I mean, it's just, it's great.
One of your minions, one of your scribes. Rolling out the papyrus to let you know.
I appreciate the fuck out of them. I do. I love these guys. And they're my friends. Yeah. You know, I like to get to know them. And
the reason we call our listeners friends of the show and not fans.
Right. Right. They're friends of the show. And yeah. And I like shouting out to them, you know.
Although I'd like to apologize to anybody who thinks I've been a dick lately. I've just been super busy. So if you've messaged me or sent me a tweet or something and I didn't respond, I've just been ridiculously busy. I'm not trying to be antisocial on purpose.
Yes, you are.
You know, sometimes.
That's totally understandable.
Yeah.
Jerk.
And I totally understand that sometimes my opinions get kind of, I do get kind of ranty online at times. So, you know, it happens. What can I say? My patience for the community, the horror community at large, it runs thin at times, and I tend to go off. But luckily, our listeners are fantastic and are not douchebags.
They're listener-tastic.
Yes, they are.
And plus, let's not discount the effect that the Thor Zenas had. It's really leveled things out nicely.
Yeah.
So what's up next week?
Next week, we are watching the Japanese film Black Rat for our Instant Queue selection. And we'll be closing in on our, well, not quite, but getting close to the end of our Scream retrospective with Scream 3. And then after that, Scream 4.
What's the twist in that one? It's really Scream 5.
They stole my ending is what the twist is.
So because I've been doing a little work with the Japanese, mm-hmm. I can actually do Black Rat in Japanese.
Okay.
Ooh.
You ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Der Black and Ratten. And it's weird because the language is so fast, you may not catch it.
You know, like, well, I can do it in Spanish. Blacko Rato.
Oh, that's good. I didn't know that one.
Let's see if I can do it in Swedish. Bork, 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 bork.
Perfect.
I offended all of our listeners.
All the Swedes?
Yeah. I apologize to all of our European listeners for that.
Oh, you fair-skinned bastards. You gloriously beautiful hunks of crap. Sorry.
You blonde-eyed, blue-eyed sons of bitches.
Right.
With your neutrality and your chocolate and buxom women. God, assholes.
Your ability to ski and not look stupid.
Your not failing economy.
Your incredible educational system.
And healthcare. Damn you, Europe!
May y'all burn in hell!
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I think that's officially as backhanded as a compliment can get.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think we lost Jake.
No, you didn't lose me.
Oh.
I'm just confused.
That's different from every other show. How?
Ouch!
Oh, it's so nice to have you back.
Aw. Aw, that's so sweet. Thank you. I only missed two shows,
I know.
Didn't I?
Was it two shows?
Yeah.
It was.
It felt like an eternity.
Well, it's 2 weeks, so. Because we only record once a week, so that does, yeah, it does fucking feel way longer between shows.
Yeah, it really does. And I am very glad to be back. I miss you guys. I was seriously dying this week. I'm just like, come on Wednesday. I was like, I needed a fix.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of interesting to see what the our recording schedule ends up being once I start working, but we'll make it work.
Now that you got a gerb.
I know, right?
Oh my god, you're going to be working.
I know, but I will still manage to watch a crap ton of movies because that's what I do. So, all right, that is it for this show. What is this, 57? Yeah, 57.
Yes, Heinz 57.
Oh, Jamie.
And remember, if you guys have any suggestions for stuff you want us to cover for Instant Watch, if you have Netflix Instant, just look through it and find something you want us to watch and send it along.
Yes, we will ignore it completely, but we make the effort.
Well, if it's an instant queue selection, it'll probably get tossed in the rotation a hell of a lot quicker than a feature choice, because like I said, up to episode 75, I've already got planned out. So,
and I think you've got it planned out till I'll be 75.
No,
which according to you guys is like next week.
Grandma Jenkins.
Is it going to rain?
I don't know. You tell me, your joints are older than mine.
Oh.
It's true. True. And no, it won't.
All right, boys.
Say goodnight, guys.
Good night, guys.
Good night, guys.
Good night, guys. Bork, 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 bork.
If you wish to contact Devour the Podcast, you can reach us by email at CenobiteDave, that's CenobiteDave, at gmail.com, or Maven1974 at gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at D Delamorte, DDELLAMORTE, or Maven1974. To visit the site, go to devourthepodcast.blogspot.com. And now you can leave a message on our fancy new voicemail at 760-661-7280.
I guess everyone's entitled to look on good scare, good scare, good scare, good scare.
Scary movies. I love those scary movies.
Don't just blame the movies. The movies. Movies don't create psycho, psycho. Movies make psychos. Who creates us?
I remember when they walked down the hall
in
the late at night and the people start to disappear.
Devour the Podcast.